Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, today on Lulz, Brian and I have a story right up our alley. A man who stole $22 million from the Jacksonville Jags franchise. And what did he do with that money? He put it into play on DraftKings and FanDuel. We'll break that down. Also talk a little playoff best ball. It's Lulz with Pete and Brian Hooper. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS guys pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Brian, we are back. Didn't have a show last week. I feel like every year we miss what? Maybe three, four? Maybe five shows at most, and it was one of them. I feel bad.
Yeah, not many. Not many. Five, I wouldn't even say five. Maybe two to four.
Yeah. I was in Miami this past weekend and was getting lots of people coming up talking about various Lulz episodes they had enjoyed this year, just all of the drama and the guests willing to come on and stuff. So the people are enjoying the Lulz.
Good. That looked fun. That did look fun down there.
Yeah, I mean, I know you personally would never leave your house and have fun like that. But from afar, you could at least appreciate that other people would have fun doing so.
It depends on who's going. It depends on who you're going. I will
sacrilegious in the chat here. And he had mentioned he was at This Life Final and also was a guest of Jay Fresh from the Deposit Kingdom at the DraftKings King of the Beach live final. And he was talking about how different the vibes were there. Just such a community element to the Underdog Life final with everyone knowing each other, where he was saying at the DraftKings one, it's like, once you're dusted, people just get up and leave kind of in their own pods, siloed off. So I've never been to a DraftKings live final, but the Underdog one definitely felt more like a community event than just people silently sweating their own lineups.
Yeah, Underdog, you know, they're playing against each other online on DraftKings. They're just trying to, you know, get a piece of that parlay picker money. You know, there's no community there.
That's right. Yeah. Well, what are these days, Brian? I feel like that should be our official, Lulz meetup. One of these days you qualify for one of these. You bring me as your plus one. We have a little Lulz meet and greet thing. You and I have never met in the flesh despite podcasting consistently for what, like 3 years now. I think we've got to make that happen.
We should. Yeah. We could even do a live show. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that because isn't our guy Ricky D, what is he at? Is it today?
Today. Well, yeah. Yeah. Today we were going to do that live show.
What live final is he at?
Football, right?
What okay. Is it Arizona? Is it?
I didn't try once this year.
Okay. Yeah. But Ricky had reached out to us and the timing wasn't going to work out.
Looks like Pete might have lost.
Broadcast reporting. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did Pete go out for a second there? Or did I go out for a second there? But yeah, timing issue with Ricky D. I hear you. I see you. So that would have been fun though to get just like random dudes from the DFS world popping on the show. But
yeah, when he reached out to us about doing it, I was like, oh, that'd be a cool idea. And then he's like, yeah, so the mixer is about going to be 7 West Coast time. I was like, yeah, we're not going to be broadcasting Lulz at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Right. And you got a show. You have a show anyways, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, Ricky D, but I got to broadcast while Easton Stick and Aiden O'Connell duel it out on Thursday Night Football.
You know, I've been having this thought about the plethora of backup QBs, and I see like Jake Browning, Brock Purdy's perfect example. And I always thought as a Bear, you know, I'm the number one Bears fan, Pete. growing up, why the fuck couldn't the Bears ever pick off a guy off the scrap heap like Kurt Warner, you know, back in the day, or, you know, the list is endless at this point, and they could never get anyone halfway. And I was like, if I was them, I would just get like six quarterbacks at the start of the year and just rifle through them. And just rifle through them. And like, who cares? You stink anyways. You haven't had a quarterback in, you know, basically forever. I mean,
well, that's the irony of what happened to the Jets this year, right? I mean, they were the team that played most loosey-goosey with their quarterback situation. And then the irony is Joe Flacco has saved the Cleveland Browns' playoff chances. Like, Joe Flacco slinging around, the fantasy pieces are relevant again. Joe Flacco was on the fucking Jets last year. Garrett Wilson had the best game of his career with Joe Flacco. And the Jets are like, no, I'm good. Joe Flacco was available for any team to pick off of their practice squad the entire season. It seems insane.
For their team specifically, too, that was a pretty big blunder. Because they had like a playoff ready, supposedly playoff ready, you know, team, defense, et cetera, and some explosive offensive players. So not have it. Like, the Bears is like slightly different over the years where you could have picked up, you know, whatever, you know, Warren Moon in his last year, just like, you know, this type of you know, old actual good player. Like, Flacco was pretty decent, right? He's got a Super Bowl, but like, why not try, you know, sign six guys and try, like they did with Bajan, you know, like just have like five of him. And then
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you got, when you literally don't have a quarterback for 30 or 40 years and you see Brock Purdy, you know, Tom Brady, you know, there's endless amounts, fifth rounders, undrafted, and you just never do anything. It drives me up a wall.
So a little peel behind the curtain here, how the show production sausage gets made. I keep just running notes for timestamps as we're going, and then I just drop them in for people if they want to pop around. At 5:30, the timestamp I have written is Brick goes full Homer Laundry Bro on the Bears dysfunction. Is that a fair characterization? You're now the biggest Bears fan I know.
I'm a huge, huge, huge Bear. You know how many jerseys I have, Pete? I wonder if I still have, I had a Dick Buckus jersey.
There you go. You know what? Because on the Shipcast, our Thursday night football companion stream on Ship Chasing, we try to get a guest that has some kind of affiliation with the team. We ended up having Dinkmeyer on for the Bears game, and we should have given him the boot because I've heard enough. You're the biggest Bears fan I know.
It's provable.
Let's talk about this parlay picker story here, because I had first heard the story just with regards to, you know, defrauding the Jags out of 22 million. When I heard the name parlay picker and 22 million, I just assumed single game parlays, right? Just like blasting off 10 leggers, 15 leggers. This dude was actually playing DFS, daily fantasy sports.
I mean, it's hard to decipher from the article and what people are saying, how much was DFS and how much wasn't. What is your impression right now before we like look at this stuff?
Well, I mean, I did read the article, and we'll pull it up here, that David Purdom, the ESPN writer who covers the sports betting industry. I mean, I guess a lot of where he was punting it off was in the high stakes three-mans, right? Because otherwise you would just say, okay, you're maxing the Millie Maker or whatever. Like, you're not even going to be able to burn through that much. But I mean, you would know better than anyone. Like, if you're sitting at those stakes night after night and playing a few of those, like, that can add up quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and he was playing way higher than I would play, and playing three mans and stuff. You could burn through quite a bit. I think the article says though, he lost 500K.
Okay.
So, but everyone else seems like he was losing millions.
Well, and what his lawyer, I guess I don't really understand why this distinction matters, but the lawyer is saying he was defrauding the team to pay old gambling losses as opposed to bankroll future DFS and sports betting play. I don't know why that distinction matters,
though. So my guess is, I could be totally wrong on this, is his lawyer's trying to pump up the addicted to gambling thing so he gets a lighter sentence.
Yep.
And so you say he lost 22 million mostly on daily fantasy sports when maybe that's not entirely the whole case.
Yeah.
22 million seems a little high.
But a lot.
Yeah. So he used what was it? The virtual credit card program.
Yeah. And so to set the stage for people wondering, so the guy's name is Amit Patel. He's a former Jags employee accused of defrauding the Jags $22.2 million. He was a high volume, high stakes DFS player. Federal authorities allege that he manipulated the Jags virtual credit card program and used the proceeds to fund a luxury lifestyle between 2019 and 2023 when the Jags terminated him. I guess too, like to the $22 million thing, Brian, versus like how much you lost in DFS. If you're spraying that hard, you're probably spraying at the club. You probably have an insane car, right? Like that's not the only thing you're spending your $22 million on, right?
That's what I'm thinking. Now, yeah, maybe it's not 500,000, maybe it's like 5 million or 10 million, but I bet he was probably doing other things. Doesn't it see, right? Yeah, that's true. Okay, the 500K tracked at Roto Grinders. Isn't this like the plot to the movie Office Space?
I kind of, yeah.
Right? But instead of doing pennies on the transaction, yeah, he must have been doing like a large percentage of the transaction.
Yeah.
Right into his bank account.
Yes.
So the beneficiaries here, it seems like, are our guy, Utikau. I'm totally – first of all, this show is for entertainment purposes only. Always has been, always will be. Don't sue us, bro. But I would say, yeah, Yuta, our boy Yuta, and, of course, the infamous Mach 11.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. A narrative on this show has been people getting cheated in high-stakes three-mans. With this revelation, could you make the case that those games were actually plus EV because of Parlay Picker? If you picked the right spots, that even if you were getting colluded against, Parlay Picker actually was the one paying the rake there.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's mathematically impossible to get colluded against in a three-man if Parlay Picker is in there, man. I get your point. I imagine they're looking at their three-man ROI and they were probably misled. Like, man, I'm killing it. These three-mans, they're super profitable. I'll never stop playing them when like 80% of their ROI came from one dude.
Yes. Larry, keep reading. Yes, I've read the article. We're going bit by bit here. We will get to this.
It's an hour long show, Larry.
Continue reading the article. Let me pace the show, Larry. Let me pace the show. Shout out though, Roto Grinders though, getting a little ink spilled here in the paper of Sports Record on ESPN. They do have it as $500,000 tracked on Roto Grinders, but they don't track the high stakes three-mans. The contests were against elite competition and had buy-ins upward of 24,000. Roto Grinders does not track such contests, and the results and buy-in figures would not be included in its online record. So if they have 500,000 on record, and that doesn't include high stakes three-mans, you could easily see how this is at least getting to multi-millions of dollars.
There you go. Yep. Okay. I'm sold.
The other thing too, right, is like, I don't know a lot about defrauding, Brian, but it seems like this went on for an unnecessarily long amount of time. Like, at what point is someone kind of checking some discrepancies in the books? Do the Jags not employ an accountant? I mean, this seems insane.
I meant to Google this before we started and I forgot. The Jags owner. Who's the Jags owner?
Khan.
Yes, you knew it. Yeah. So okay, he's the Pakistani American billionaire, sports tycoon. Okay. No, so like I was thinking, it's a case of so rich, you know.
Yes, he's so rich that like it just looks like a rounding error to him, as opposed to losing $22 million.
Yeah. Sir, we have a problem with the $22 million in your eighth sports team you own.
Yeah.
It's like 22 million. You're bothering me with $22 million, Pete.
Yeah. Well, isn't that actually interesting in relation to, you know, Mark Cuban selling his majority share in the Mavs? Because in like the hierarchy of sports team owners, like we all view Mark Cuban, oh, he's this billionaire, he's on Shark Tank. But in that hierarchy, he is way, way down. Like compared to guys like Khan, like it's honestly insane that the disparity, even in that 0.01% of wealth, the various, you know, variations or levels between those guys.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. He owns Fulham FC team.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Do you think there could be, you know, Pakistan and India had a big war a long time ago? Do you think Patel here maybe just didn't like his boss and he was going to take it out?
Now it's a Lulz episode. Brian trying to tie this into a war at the Middle
psychology.
East.
I'm thinking of the psychology here, Pete.
King said in the statement, this is his lawyer, that approximately 99% of the funds misappropriated from the Jags VCC were gambling losses, almost all while occurred on FanDuel and DraftKings. This goes back to the thing, was he spending it on other money? If you were the lawyer trying to push this narrative of a gambling addiction, this is obviously the number you would say, right? You would say this is contained exclusively to gambling. He would never use a dollar from the Jags to go out to a nice sushi dinner. That's for sure. No, only gambling.
It's because of his addiction.
Yeah.
That he couldn't control. He's really the victim here. Wouldn't you say sports betting though? Like if you're, you know, you're a lawyer, like which one would seem like I could get him off more? Wouldn't sports betting make sense? Cause it's in the zeitgeist of most people, like, oh yeah, sports betting addictive. Got it.
Yeah. Or is this the spin zone, Brian, that this is the ultimate case of DFS being a game of skill? Because what we really need is the flip side of it. We need to see the three-man accounting of the people who just absolutely profited from going against these guys over the years.
I bet we know two of them.
Yeah. It is true. Kirby says it, man. I'm the self-proclaimed deposit king. I think I've been dethroned, Brian.
This guy, once he gets out of prison, I think you have to hire him for the Discord.
He could have the keys to the Deposit Kingdom Discord now. Are you offended, Brian? We got interviews in this article, a few DFS players. I think I recognize the name Drew Crawford. We have Matt Smith, who's seminal on Twitter. Were you offended that you weren't asked to comment about this story?
I was not. I don't know if I would even have responded to him.
Come on, Brian, that would have been great promotion from the show.
That's true. I probably would have told you, and then you'd be like, you have to say something, because I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I vaguely remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because first of all, on FanDuel, I'm assuming he lost, from what like the Twitter threads were saying, was a lot of it was on FanDuel, and I don't play a ton on there, and I haven't played three mans, despite the show being entertainment purposes only. We've said not to play three mans for 2 years now, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe since the start. So he that's another thing is, not only does this guy not do research and know how to play DFS or anything like that, he doesn't watch this show because he wouldn't have been playing these three mans.
Yeah. So the quote from Matt Smith, he says that Parlay Picker would occasionally not even submit a lineup despite it being a $3,000 buy-in. That's when you know you're really splashing around, when you don't feel the need to go check and make sure you have a lineup submitted there.
He would train the high stakes, you know, wildcat-ish type of things too, or luxury box. So like 24 of the same $1,000 lineup, like which is just completely horrible strategy. I guess unless you have an endless Ponzi scheme going on, endless office space scheme going on.
Do you think like, so these guys, you know, Matt and Drew, apparently these guys would just sit, take this guy's money. Do you think if our guy Sheets ended up in a three man with him, that he would have reached out and taught him how to be a better player instead of taking his money?
I would hope so. He'd probably be like, listen, check out my Staykings package. Seems like it'd probably be better actually investment, which is true, than what Parlay Picker was doing. And then he'd have to, you know, walk him through how to play DFS.
What do you think about this Galbraith theory here? Is it possible from Sacrilegious that McLovin and Parlay Picker were in cahoots to launder all that money? Mock cleans up and pays Parlay Picker in his cut.
Ah, that you are a genius, sir. I can't believe So when he gets out of prison, he cuts Miss 12 million or whatever.
That's right.
Probably a little more if he's serving time and doing the maybe like you got to give the man, you know, 18 of the 22, right?
I would watch that reality show or documentary. You imagine Parlay Picker inside the yard, gets his collect call, talking to McLovin on the other side. You know, McLovin's having to send stuff in there, some extra little money for the contraband, make sure Parlay Picker is staying healthy and safe on the inside. That's what we all deserve.
I mean, if they were smart, though, it would be do not contact me ever.
Yeah. Then down here, we got a veteran DFS player, and this is a blind item. I think we have to try to guess who gave this quote. One veteran DFS player who communicated with ESPN on the condition of anonymity said they believed Parlay Picker is the biggest loser ever on FanDuel. He was legendarily bad, the person added. If this quote was he was generationally bad, it's for sure CSU Ram. If he would have tossed in the word generational there, is legendarily enough of a synonym and a sister of the adjective generational that this could have been CSU?
Oh, no. This is big T. This got big T all over it for me. He wants to be anonymous, right? He doesn't get involved anymore now that he's big C. You know, so he'll stay anonymous and legendarily bad. I could see him saying that.
I mean, but why don't you get, I mean, if you give the quote, then you get Run Pure Sports, Big Tony said this, and people, then you start Googling, all of a sudden ESPN readers are buying Run Pure Sports hats. It's a total cash cow.
Because he's all into this, I don't want to get sued stuff now.
I know.
He's big corporate.
Any other guesses in the chat who gave this quote?
Yeah, who else? Okay, who else could it be? Who they would contact.
Smith is a good guess. Does stuff with ESPN.
He would put his name to it.
Smith would put his name to it. I don't legendarily bad. To me, that's, I still think it's Jennix.
Who? Yeah. And I could see him not wanting his name on, attached to it. Davis would be like, make sure you,
he was one of the biggest losers ever on FanDuel. Legendarily bad.
Make sure you put my handle in there.
All right. Our update here. Patel is scheduled to appear in federal court today. Ooh. In Jacksonville, where he's expected to plead guilty to charges of wire fraud in a legal monetary transaction. In a statement last week, King said that Patel is deeply remorseful and is in treatment for his gambling addiction. The last tournament that Parlay Picker entered that was tracked on RotoGrinders was the DraftKings World Golf Championship on July 6th, 5 months after the Jags fired him. So he was still getting in those streets, even when the cash cow dried up.
Unless they have a misspelling here or whatever, that means he made the World Golf Championship. So he queued up and actually got in there.
Oh, are you saying so? You think maybe his account balance had zero, but he had earned the ticket, so he still was able to play?
Yeah, right. Like he had the only way to get into those is to queue them.
Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah. He must have been playing queues left and right to get that. Oh, and then he probably is like, if I win this, I could start paying it back. 120. Yeah.
Are there any photos of this guy?
That name's going to be really common. I doubt. Wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, we got a photo of him. Indian American Amit Patel swindles. I can pull up this article here. Swindles football team's $22 million to fund luxury life. Normally, Brian, you see the photos and you go, these are the guys I lose to. How do I ever lose? This is the guy that's helping you win. That, I mean, he's the pride and joy of DFS Nation.
He's a handsome man.
He is, Brian. And do you think he's getting unfairly, you know,
or he should be freed immediately. Yeah, of course.
Because he's good looking.
He's been set up. he should go back to his job, the exact same job he had before.
Oh my goodness.
And let us know what games he's playing in.
You're saying like when there's like a murder or something, and if it happens to like a blonde girl at an Ivy League school, the disproportionate media coverage just because she's pretty and rich, you're saying that's happening to this guy here because he's pretty and no longer rich?
No, the bit was I want him to keep playing DFS.
It would be fun if we could get some more stories. I know I can pull up the tweet here from
what's he looking at?
He's going to be in court today.
Yeah, I mean, does anyone have any clue on what stealing $22 million from your employer is? I mean, that's got to be, I don't know, a decade?
Yeah. You would think. I mean,
and then he lost it all. That's like obviously way worse, right? Like,
yeah,
they can't recoup those.
So this was a tweet from Matt Smith, who was in the article, Sammy Knoll on Twitter. He would constantly do huge trains in high stakes, would occasionally have players who weren't even in his lineups, and the other times didn't even enter a lineup after registering. He's showing screenshots of some old DMs with someone. I beat Parlay Picker last night. That dude must have more money than Wakey Wakey. And that has Parlay Picker went with a 23 team train. Love that dude, Parlay Picker. So he had been on the radar within our crew here for a while.
I'm asking ChatGPT how long he's expected to serve.
Also, I got to pull up an old chat from at the beginning of the show. I saw this from our guy Nick here. Where was this? Nick was sharing some inside stuff. Where are you, Nick? This guy. Let me pull this up here. This guy was a friend of a friend, and he invited us to play golf at his country club. The dude bragged about how much he won in DFS the past few weeks, legitimately the entire round of golf. He even showed me his FD account with 300,000, so it's 100% legit here. He bought a condo at Ponte Verde Beach and bought a few cars. See, that I knew there was the $22 million was going somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that could be a million right there.
Easy. Wild.
Yeah. His Nick's lawyer is ramping up those DFS losses. I'm betting. I'm sure he lost a ton. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. He's playing an angle, and the media wants to run with it because it's a good story, and then people will talk about it.
Look at this. Nick's practically best friends with him. He played in our Top Golf league. Also, newsflash to me: there's Top Golf leagues. Wild. For a week, and he was adamant the Monday Night Football game would be on the TV because he had DFS lineups in play that night.
They're saying ChatGPT is giving me, I hate when they won't fucking answer.
I was surprised you were going back. You have such a tumultuous up and down relationship with ChatGPT.
I would destroy this Android given the opportunity. They're saying it could be decades.
Decades. Wow.
Here, I have a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
What if, I mean, I guess it's not a conspiracy theory. Clearly this is true, but what if this is kind of like the news story that I kind of warn about to be used for regulation and to cut underdog even more. And then they're like, oh, well, remember the Patel guy? Oh, God, I don't know. We really need to look into more regulation here.
Is this theory that this story is a complete plant, that he didn't actually defraud the Jags of 20?
I was going to go at that, but I don't really believe that. I don't think it's a plant. But, I mean, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste, right? If it's an opportunity to use it, they might as well blow it up. ESPN's in that world now.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think you can spin it both ways. I think you can spin it. The fact that he was playing so much DFS, a game of skill, and that these people were lining up to play against him as he punted it off. I think that further supports that cause.
They don't care though. Like they don't, They don't give a shit. They're just like, oh, no, gambling addiction. That's the bad thing. And that's why the government exists, to stop bad things from happening to good people. And so we're going to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
It doesn't think we matter also if it's a skill game, if 0.1% of the population does this.
Brian, what would your DFS play look like if you had access to $22 million in funds from the Jags? What would you start playing?
Probably nothing. I think that's enough.
Would you retire? Is $22 million your number?
Probably.
You would need something. Your brain would need to do something.
Yeah. I would probably do something, try to find something else to do, and maybe I'd still play, but I'd probably just play like three lineups in like the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is a good question. What would Brian, with infinite money, what does your day look like? What are you starting to spend your time doing?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it because that's not in the cards right now.
That's why it's a hypothetical, Brian.
I've never contemplated, is all I'm saying. Let me think. Oh, God. Probably go to get a job with the Jags.
You go around the country giving like PSA speeches about flaws in VCC systems. Cautionary tale.
I would get another house in a warm state, probably Florida, and golf a lot more.
Yeah. You do strike me as, you know, like I always call bullshit when Davis Maddox says that if he, you know, won Best Ball Mania and he'd just sail off into the sunset, or if he was a multimillionaire, it's like, no, you'd be criminally online. I actually believe, Brian, that you would just like fish and golf the rest of your days in a warm weather location.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. I could do that.
I still think you would get intellectually bored. Are you someone that would just like sit around and read for 4 hours a day? Like, do you get into
it? Not anymore. I used to. Now I don't have the capacity to read because the internet's fried my brain. But
maybe this. Do we just go full Joe Rogan? Brian, you give me a $1 million a week salary with your new infinite money, and we just do lulls full time, Joe Rogan style, 3 hour pods a day.
I probably would do more podcasting, like just generally speaking, because I enjoy it. It's fun. I don't know if anyone would listen, but I'd probably do, you know, another non-gambling podcast.
Yeah. Because I have kids now, I don't think my life would – I don't think my life would change that much. I think I would mostly be doing the same thing. There would obviously be some tweaks, but I think the general makeup of my days would look very similar.
Would it though? Because I doubt you're still going to work for...
I'm just saying I would still be making content. You know, yes, I would be writing. I would be doing streams.
Would be in charge. Like you would just run it from your company. You know, like why?
Yeah. But the thing is, in this hypothetical of like infinite money, you wouldn't even have to think about it as a company because you wouldn't have to make a single cent from it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to the thing. Nick Ercolano had this phrase he said on one of his shows where he said like most stuff with being like doing content or turning like your passions into a business. He just said it's like systemizing your passions. And I think if you have infinite money, you don't really need to systemize them. You can just turn the cameras on and do whatever. The systemizing, the organization, the packaging, the promotion, that's the stuff where you get a return from your time because you need the money. But if you didn't, you wouldn't have to systemize shit. You just, Brian, you fired up your live stream at 4:30 in the afternoon. Who cares?
That's true. Wouldn't you still want number to go up though a little bit? Wouldn't you still want your shows to get a lot of views?
Yeah. You're right, because in a way, right, like in a way, the way people earn money or try to get money, it's a game, right? There's a gamification element to you. So if the money and those stakes meant nothing, you would still find ways to gamify things. I want X amount of subscribers, or I want X amount. Like, you would find a new way to judge your own success outside of money.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah. Like, if you, like, I'm just thinking you specifically, if you're going to do this kind of – public, more public profile podcasting, YouTubing, etc., you still need to play the thumbnail game. By the way, today's thumbnail was fire. Did everyone else think the same thing? That was a good one today. Like, you still got to do all that stuff, you know, if you want, like, because you don't want to do a podcast and, you know, four people listen to it.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's true. And I mean, we're very fortunate that we have 220 people watching live right now, us envisioning what our lives would be like with 22 million. What do you think the Jags, of all the NFL franchises to get defrauded of 22 million, what do you think would have been the funniest? Like, the Jags is kind of funny, but it's not the funniest, I don't think.
I mean, I would have thought like the Dallas Mavericks. I know it's not the NFL, but that Mark Cuban getting defrauded, even though he doesn't own them anymore, 22 million would crack me up.
Yeah.
Who else? James Dolan in New York. That's another NBA.
I feel, for some reason, like the Chargers would be very funny to me. They've just had such this insane run out. They get, you know, uprooted from San Diego, moved to Los Angeles. No one goes to their games. They finally land on a franchise quarterback. Their 90% of their team is hurt all of the time. And they have like a funny social media account, and people constantly like recirculate old tweets from the corporate account about PF Chang's. It just feels like a place. They employ David Chow, who's like one of the worst NFL team doctors we've ever seen. It just seems like they're an organization that wouldn't notice 22 million being gone.
What about the Raiders?
Yeah,
because it's in Vegas.
Well, they did lose 22 million. It was on a John Gruden 10-year contract, I think.
how about the Oakland A's? It's like, well, we can't field the team this year because that was our entire budget. they have no money.
That would be actually that just general archetype of a money ball style GM. You know, where they're like, you know, trying to pinch pennies and get good down the line. They're like, sorry, guys, we can't be in the luxury tax at all because we are funding high stakes 3-man cash games for one of our employees.
Jim Irsay, just to see what he would say.
Yeah, man, Jim Irsay. It is. I wonder, do you think that like that brand of owner, the type of owner who is very public and meddles in his team's affairs, the Mark Cubans, the Jerry Joneses, do you think that archetype will always exist?
Yes. That's the dream, isn't it?
It's the fun of it, right?
Like, if instead of 22 million, we got 22 billion.
Yeah.
I'm probably buying a team, even though I don't even want to deal with it, like the headache of it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be doing some stuff to it. Like, I'm going to be hiring tons of, you know, gambling guys and stuff.
Well, do you know what? This gets back to that thing of how you will find yourself caring. Say you have infinite money. Let's literally say like $100 billion and you do buy the franchise, right? And the stakes are still so low for you, but you think about the public feedback in the people roasting you if the team isn't headed in the right direction, or you have a bad year, or you hire the wrong coaches, or you mess up a trade. Like, that would be the part of you that made you competitive. You're like, I don't want to be the laughing stock, even if it's like, who cares? 22 billion down the drain doesn't fucking matter to me. You would still have emotional stakes in that.
I thought about this is like, we daydream way too much for things that are never going to happen. But like, I have thought about it. Like, I would want to do, like, I'll hire like people like, you know, Bob Vulgaris and stuff like that, and put together a team. And we're going to go for it on fourth down a lot, you know, just like, this is what the numbers say, we're doing it. But would you have the balls of all the normie dummies and ESPN and all of them coming after you every day about how you lost 47-6, you know, and because you went for it on fourth down in the first quarter when normally you shouldn't.
So basically, in the same way we have some of those college teams and even high school teams, right, where it's like the high school team that only shoots three-pointers or the college team that goes for it on fourth down every single time, it brings some like radical play style to an actual NFL franchise because you do not give one shit what the pundits say about what you're doing?
Can we flip this around?
Go for
it. For $22 million, how much time would you be willing to serve?
But on which end? Do I serve the time and then get the $22 million?
Yeah.
Or do I get to blast off and then I have to go pay my dues?
I guess it doesn't really matter. I guess either way.
It does.
Okay.
I'm such a forward thinking, like it'd be psychologically so much easier to be like, all right, I get these 5 years done and then we go play, as opposed to the entire time you're playing, it's like, I got to be in prison in about a year, man. This sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say after you get,
okay,
you do the time, then you get paid.
I mean, I feel like this question would be so much easier to ask me like pre having a kid, because that just like contemplates it. Can we do in this hypothetical that you don't have like a family of any kind?
Let's say that. Let's say you don't have any strings of any kind.
In the numbers, I get $22 million when I'm done paying my time.
Why not?
Yeah. And I mean,
this is what he was faced with.
Right.
Like, 'cause it goes through my mind, like this guy is, while he's, you know, I could kind of wrap my head around, I'll take you like $1,000, you know, it'll happen over a month. They won't know.
Yeah.
I could pay my rent or something. Like I could kind of figure that, but like this, you're doing time, man. And you still go through with it.
And this isn't like some luxury prison, right? I mean, this is like a real prison.
It depends on if it's a federal crime or not, which makes it way worse, because federal crime, like you have to do the majority of the time served, I think over 80%.
Yeah.
And you go into federal pound me in the ass prison, which is not where you want to be.
I think my number, just being completely honest, I don't think I would be able to agree to like any more than 6 months. I think I would do like 3 to 6 months.
I agree. Like, I don't even know about six. Like,
six is a lot. Like, three is probably a little bit more realistic. Just give me 90 days and out of there.
And I would need like a startup time, because I would have to go to the gym every day, 8 hours a day, and get jacked and fighting classes for like 6 months to a year and a half before I go in.
Isn't that some people use like going on a vacation as motivated to get in shape? Brian's like, I'm going to prison, baby. I'm working out.
Fuck yeah. Like, I mean, I listen to like, you know, a lot of criminal justice reform stuff and stuff like that. And like, you do not want to go in there. Have you ever heard of the YouTuber FPS Russia? He was like big in early YouTube days. Like, mm-mm. He had a fake Russian accent. He would like get tanks somehow and blow shit up. Anyways, he does a podcast now, and he got busted because of that channel. They were like, you know, the FBI was kind of just watching him, and he ordered weed or something.
Yeah.
And so they got him on that. So it's like weed over the mail is now a federal crime. And so like, they were just trying to completely fuck him to shut down his channel. He did shut his channel down, and he went to jail, but like they got it down to, I think he had to do 1 month.
Mm.
And even just him describing that 1 month is like, and he's like a big 6'2", big dude. And it did not sound like even that 1 month is something you want to do.
Well, don't you think for the reasons that we wouldn't be wanting to go to prison, don't you think it's almost like the 0 to 1 is the bigger leap than like 1 to 100, talking in like days, you know, like the difference of being 1 day in prison versus 30 doesn't seem that different to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The first few days.
Yes.
And then after that, like if you're, then you could make the month. But if you could do 1 month.
There you go. I love too how sick this hypothetical is, because like Nick is saying, you know, 3 to 6 months, you're changing your life forever. You're a changed man, being like, you wouldn't want to do it. And then on the flip side, that with no kids, that's insanely low. For $22 million, I'd go to prison for longer than 6 months.
Way longer. You should look into what happens in federal prison, my friend. Amit is not going to have a good time.
The other key about this, Brian, you wouldn't want any of your fellow inmates finding out the $22 million you're receiving upon exiting. You would want to keep that on the down low.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely true. Or maybe you're like, listen, bro, you got my back here. I could, I'll give you $10,000 as soon as I get out of here.
What do you think though for this guy, Amit? What do you think the psychology is here? Do you think he's naive during this stretch thinking, I'm never going to get caught? I'm just going to have, or do you think in the back of his head, he's just like, I'm going to get busted eventually, but I'm going to have the time of my life until I do.
But why buy a house? Like, that seems like time of your life is, you know, coke and hookers and DF three man's against my club and dude. Buying a house and cars, I guess cars. House, like, seems like that's like, that must have taken him months to get that house.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes months at a bare minimum if you have cash and, like, pick out your house today.
How about this? Do you think he was using any DFS content or projections, or was he literally just logging in and clicking buttons?
I bet he was logging in and clicking buttons. And I don't know. I dispute this gambling addiction thing in general, because, like, if you were addicted to gambling, then you would at least submit a lineup so you could sweat it. That's the whole point.
Right.
Because anyone could just dump money somewhere and just leave it on the side of the road. Like, that's not fun.
Brian, if he outed a site as the site he subscribed to, would that be the biggest death blow to a DFS content projection site you could ever have? The guy that was your stuff, you know, it's the inverse screenshot. This guy lost 22 million subscribing to your site.
It's too bad he didn't, like, write some articles for a site. Like, they hire him. High stakes superstar parlay picker.
Oh my goodness. Just an absolute body bag. Like, he has his old tweets up, like, shouting out, insert random,
the Stochastic site. Hall of Fame.
Oh my God.
That would be awesome.
Because based on the stories Nick was telling in the chat from Top Golf, it did seem like he was certainly on Team Sweat the lineups, you know, wanting to watch his teams.
Right.
So
why not? Like, it doesn't seem to me like, I guess I could see running a train. But like, really, why wouldn't you want 24 different lineups and then you have all these sweats? Like, that's the real addiction of DFS.
Well, it makes me wonder if he even understood how DFS worked, like tournaments work. Did he even understand the difference between a three-man contest and a big GPP? He might not have understood that.
It's gambling addiction is usually to, like, instant feedback or intermediate feedback, like slot machines. Florida has casinos, and I'm assuming he was living there.
Yeah.
So, like, DFS doesn't add up for me entirely, is what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Does he know Whistles Go Woo?
Whistles is the one who actually uncovered this. This was why he became a Fed, was to go undercover as a DFS pro, sit in these games, collect all of this intelligence, and then bring this dossier to the federal government.
How do you know this? Just rumors.
Oh my god.
So, like, do you think he was, you know, like, literal Office Space movie, like, oh, I'll just do a little bit, you know, and then eventually he's like, wow, no one's caught me yet, let's go up to 500k.
That's what I'm really fascinated by, his psychology with how he was approaching this. And again, too, like, what is one of the reasons why more people sports bet compared to DFS? It's so much easier, right? You can just go say, I want to bet on the Bears to win the game. Boom, one click, drop $10,000 bet, $50,000. You can get down as much as you want on the Bears winning this week. DFS, it's like, I got to make, even if you're just clicking buttons, you're like, shit, I overwent on my salary. Got to remove these two guys and do a 2v2 that fits in here. Like, there was some element of the DFS that was clearly fun for him.
You have to wait the whole time. In football, you used to bet the first game, it's over, then bet the next game, and wait for the whole slate. So part doesn't add up, but, like, because if you bring in the prison stuff, if someone's like, we're going to steal 22 million, like, any sane person has to go, like, okay, if I steal 22 million, I'm probably locked up for a good decade or two. Right. But if you steal 10 grand every week, And then you bump it up to 50 grand. And then eventually you're taking 100 grand a week. And then, and then you're like, oh my God, I'm up to 22 million.
This is the funniest comment to me. It's illegal as an NFL employee to bet on NFL. Do you know what else it is also illegal to do as an NFL employee? Defraud your employer of $22 million. I promise you, you don't this care.
This is the biggest sin right here. He violated his employee code of conduct.
That's what I'm most pissed about. If we find out that he bet on a single side during that 3-year stretch, guillotine.
Oh my God.
Guillotine.
How do we not piece this together? Who is the star wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Or Calvin Ridley?
Calvin Ridley.
Is that how he brought Calvin Ridley to Jacksonville?
I don't know. Maybe there's something going on there. Maybe he's like, hey, I need to get some money down.
Yeah. Also, Don, if I saw correctly, did you win the Underdog Cardio Club a top BBM team? I think I saw that. You get to free roll BBM next year. Congratulations. If so, by the way, after talking all of this through, Brian, do you think the story's just a little too clean?
Yes. Something. We need more information. I don't buy it. The gambling addiction thing is Pete might be frozen here, but I'll go on. The gambling addiction thing. I think there's some sort of angle going on here, clearly to like lower his sentence, but also what's the idea of so it does look like Pete's gone. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, the gambling addiction thing. So like he could theoretically lower his prison sentence if he blames it on gambling. But like, I don't see how that matters. Like if you steal $22 million and then invest it in low fee mutual funds, how does that matter that it's like, oh, it's a less risky investment portfolio. So we should drop his sentence. Like, I don't even understand the play. So Pete will be back. I'm assuming he's probably going to his backup internet. And he'll be here in a second. But what do you guys think? I'm on the side right now that the gambling addiction, something's not adding up here. Usually it's, yeah, so like beach houses and cars, Brad's saying. Like usually the gambling addiction is something that is like an intermediate or quick type of gambling. DFS is kind of slow. Like, and he's playing PGA. PGA is 4 days, right? He's maxing cues to get into the world championship. So, like, it doesn't make – golf would be the least gambling-addicted form of DFS probably. I mean, I wonder if they could ever parse those numbers down. So, like, that doesn't add up. I think the money – too, if they say the majority of the $22 million went to DFS, but he's buying a house in a nice area of Florida, multiple cars. And if he's showing, who was it, Nick or whoever here in chat said he was playing golf with him. If he's showing his account and only has 300,000, I know that's a lot of money for people, but like if it's only 300,000 in there, like, I don't know, like it feels like he should probably have more than, I guess, unless he's just flushing 300K down every, 2 weeks or something, which is possible. This is what happens when you don't get the COVID chat. I can't highlight your guys' comments. Pete's never granted me the authority. I'm not to be trusted. But let's read some comments before Pete gets back in here. Den wouldn't be shocked if he was firing off on blackjack in the DK casino. The DK casino makes sense. I don't know if they have that in Florida. What do they have? They might have some restrictions in Florida, actually. They might not have casino or sports betting. Does anyone live in Florida know if DK allows anything besides DFS there? BKS is someone whose job it is to perform investigations. I can tell you that most likely the situation is it started small and spiraled out of control. That That makes sense to me. I was kind of alluding to that earlier. Just based on like that prison idea, like if he stole 10,000, like he's not going to do time. Right. I think, but then like it eventually starts adding up and he's just like, screw, maybe he was trying to win it back so he could just pay it, like pay, like win 10 million back and be like, okay, here's 10. Like I see, I gave it back to you. And then that just kept snowballing. And then the 10 million just eventually got up to 22. He seems like a maniac. Like if he's not playing DF, if he's playing DFS this badly, like what can this guy's IQ be? But he was able to come up with this Office Space computer scheme. You have to be at a pretty high level of coding there, I would assume. I'd like to see what he was doing there. This is a total movie situation. Don, he was trying to make enough money playing DFS to pay back what he stole, obviously. Okay, that's what I just said. Doovie, businesses often inflate their losses for insurance purposes, something I imagine a billionaire as well. Oh, look at this. He's back.
Dude, I decided to try our prison hypothetical early. And I just headed down the road to the penitentiary.
They let you in pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, you know, I shivved a guard and they let you in real quick after that.
Is it like, are you like, and actually, I think I might stay here a little while. It's not that bad.
It's nice. Yeah. They got granola bars and seems like they're going to have the game on tonight. They don't have the YouTube TV thing, but they do have Amazon Prime. So I think I'm going to be good.
Okay. Are you going to do like a ship chasing from prison?
Yeah. Soap chasing is the theme tonight. sorry, but I know you're a pro streamer, Brian. You know, not all of my hosts I can just leave vamping like this when my internet goes down. So thank you for carrying this. But you do the rookie streamer mistake, which is you'll leave a comment up on the StreamYard for far too long.
That's because I don't have control over that. Otherwise, I would.
Oh, is that me?
That's you.
There we go. All right. Look at this. I can just produce the show on my phone. Why am I ever even in my office, Brian? I could be traveling the world doing lulls.
Now you're in prison, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah. What did I miss? What did I miss? Did we have any other revelations about parlay?
We were talking about, like, you know, what the reason, like, what, how quickly he lost the money and, like, I think everyone's kind of agreeing. It kind of snowballed on him. Maybe he was trying to chase those losses to pay back if he ever got caught. Like,
yeah.
Cause it doesn't make, and also too, like, I just like, the more we talk about it, the more it doesn't add up, like monetarily.
Yeah.
Like, I think he lost a decent amount of money in other areas. So I don't know. Maybe we'll revisit this story.
It's unfortunate because it seems, you know, we've had some guests over the year where like, maybe we could get Cash Out King on, you know, sometimes like this, but I don't think we're going to have a shot at getting a meet to come on Lulz.
Oh God, that would be sweet. Well, maybe he'll be a cellmate with you. They're making fun of your name.
I know you're not on TikTok, but there are some massive prisoner TikTok accounts that have huge followings that do live streams. Some of them have like a niche, like there's the cooking dude and it's him showing all the various things, like how he makes a burrito with his contraband in prison. There's guys that play hoops that live stream. There is room for more prison content creators, I think.
Sure. Well, I mean, we could do lulz. I mean, I'm not gonna go there, but I'd be willing to co-host.
Yeah. I'm going to go talk to Lauren right now. I'm going to tell her about my new kind of content plan for life. Yeah. And it's leaving my 1-year-old child and her going to prison and becoming the first DFS prisoner streamer.
She's like, and there's no 22 million at the end of this rainbow. No, no. Doing it free of charge.
Just some incredible life experiences, honey.
You know, another thing with my conspiracy theory, parlay picker.
It's yeah,
a lot like parlays on Underdog and Prize Picks, not DFS.
Don't call them that, Brian. They are fantasy pick'em entries.
I know, but this is what they're going to use Parlay Picker to take them down.
It does sound like the username sounds like some kind of tool that would get released for helping you build these on the sites. Yeah. You like sign up and get Parlay Picker for 35% off. Have I seen the TikTok of the prison parlay guy who, oh, I did see that one. Yeah. There's this guy who like gives out his picks ahead of time, but then there was some controversy because it was like the video went live after some of the picks hit. So you didn't know if there was some sleight of hand there, but apparently there's a prodigy in prison who can hit the 12 leggers.
Did he actually win? Did he actually get it?
That's what he said. That's what it said. Yeah.
Get some meal money.
I know. All right, Brian, as much as I would like to do the rest of this show up on my stairs right by the door exiting my house where there's good service, I think we've had ourselves a show.
Yep, we got an hour in here.
I didn't think we were going to go a near 60 minutes on Parlay Picker, but we went down the hypothetical rabbit hole, and I don't know about you, but I've kind of come to appreciate my life circumstances more than I did an hour ago.
I'd much rather be here than where Parlay Picker is later today in court.
Oh, we were going to talk a little bit about playoff basketball. We can maybe do that on a future episode. I know you're working on some stuff with the Brick Draft Caddy for helping people draft in those.
Yeah, it's a little tricky getting it set up so it can like auto draft something usable for that format, since there's so much negative correlation. But yeah, hopefully next day or two we can add something.
Yeah, and by the way, if you guys aren't, you know, we've talked about the Draft Caddy before helping you draft the Battle Royales. I'm telling you, Brian, this is going to be a great week to do Battle Royale drafters. Everyone on Underdog just got their stimmies from regular season payouts. Everyone's accounts feeling flush. We got some big prize pools this week. And just from my limited drafts I've already done, they seem to be a little bit more unhinged than normal. I think people are blasting off with the money in their account.
Is Parlay Picker in any of these drafts, Pete? You know, yeah, we didn't talk about, and we don't have to, but I was going to mention, I wonder if they're going to try to recoup any of that money.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But like, from recoup it how?
From DraftKings, or then DraftKings through the players.
What kind of recourse would they have to even get that back?
I don't know, but there has to be some sort of stolen funds. Not law, but what's that called? Where it's decided in court. And so whatever happened previously was decided is how they'll apply it going forward. I cannot think of the name.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure there's been case law. I'm sure there's been some case law. He's probably like, no.
Yeah, you got to give it back. You know, those are the rules. And I was in a few of those with you, too, and you need to give it back to me.
I can use my Utah Bucks back.
Precedent, was that the word you were looking for?
Yeah, precedent. There we go. Yeah, so, like, that could be a thing.
Yeah. Or Khan just kind of looks in his couch cushions tonight and finds $22 million in change and is like, yeah, we'll be fine.
They'll want to kick this under the rug, unless, of course, they want to make it big to use to their advantage and go, oh, we don't want any of this regulation. Yeah, we hate it.
If you covered the Jags as a beat reporter and you don't ask Calvin Ridley his thoughts about this story, you deserve to lose your job. That's my take.
Amen. Yeah. Especially after the season he's had.
All right, guys. I am going to head out. If you want to hang out with us tonight on the Shipcast for Soap Chasing, we have Danny Kelly from The Ringer, who's going to be joining us for Easton Stick versus Aiden O'Connell. Anything else you want to mention on your end, Brian?
I did the Takecast yesterday, and Davis told me after we ended, not one person will listen to that the whole way through. So it was a nice compliment.
That's one of those bits where anytime you say that, trust me, there are people listening to it all the way through. The real question is, last time I think you were on the Takecast, Davis went with a clickbait that really kind of slandered your good name. Did that happen again?
No.
Okay. No, what did you guys talk about?
Bitcoin, and then eventually just started talking about everything. He had a podcast with Ricky D where Ricky D likes to talk about, you know, what makes people happy and stuff like that. So we started BSing about that at the end. It was all over the place.
So it's like the inverse of our conversation where it's like, what would life in prison be like?
Right. Yeah. How would you be happy in prison? And that could be a whole episode.
There you go. I don't know if my internet's losing it. I'm going to power down the stream. I don't know if I lost Brian or if you guys lost me. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you guys around.
Power it down.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.